Good evening and welcome to our evening service. Turn to somebody sitting beside you and tell them they're looking younger every day. It's nice to get a bit of encouragement occasionally, isn't it? So you're very welcome, and we're very thankful once again that we have Nigel Kissick as our speaker tonight. Nigel, we were blessed this morning, and we look forward to hearing what the Lord has laid upon your heart for us here at Abbots Cross tonight. And Nigel, as he was saying this morning, works with Gospel Mission to South America, and he'll be telling us just a wee bit more about that organisation this evening. Tuesday, we have our Bible study and prayer meeting at 7:30. Andrew Daly is coming along again this week to take the Bible study section. And then next Sunday, our services are at the usual times of 11 in the morning, 6 in the evening. And the speaker at both of those services next week is Pastor Dennis Lyle. We will wait around the Lord's table for communion after our evening service. Now, as I said this morning, we had our 10th Sunday offering last week. And if you're a regular here, you know that every 10th Sunday we have a special offering to a particular work. And this time it goes to support our own folk, those who are working full time in the Lord's service. And the offering was £2,780. And again, I thank you for your generosity. There are some more leaflets for our Ukraine appeal, so they're on the display board. Please take those as you're leaving the service and try and help Donald Fleming as he's trying to get some stuff out to our friends in Ukraine. And then the ladies are having their monthly meeting first Wednesday in February, which is the 7th Wednesday week, and it's at 7:30. It's a missionary meeting with Anne Brown, who works with Japan Christian Link. Anne will give a personal word of testimony and speak on the family's work in Japan. And there will be tea and coffee and a bit of a chat afterwards. So those are all the announcements. Just before the praise team lead us in our worship, we'll commit everything to the Lord this evening. Our Father, as we come into your presence this evening, we pray, Lord, that you would still our hearts. Father, we pray that you take away all the things that would try and get our attention and take our attention away from you and your lovely Son. And we pray, Father, that the things that we have experienced during the week we will put aside. The things that we face tomorrow and the rest of the week we will leave until later. And just this evening, may we worship you. Thank you, Father, for bringing Nigel into our service this evening. Thank you, Lord, for the challenge this morning. And Lord, we pray that once again that you would use him as he shares what you've laid upon his heart for Abbots Cross. And we pray, Father, that you'd bless him as he works with GMSA. We pray, Lord, that the organization will see many in South America come to know the Savior. And Lord, we pray as we hear a bit more about that work tonight that you would challenge us to pray for the organisation, to pray for Nigel and those that are connected with the organisation, to pray for the pastors in South America. And Lord, we ask that we may see great things done there in your name. Our Father, we would think, Lord, of our friends who cannot meet as we can tonight, Lord. Perhaps they are suffering persecution wherever they live. We know, Lord, that in some countries, turning to the Saviour can be a death sentence. We know, Lord, that there are so many pressures on people trying to convert from whatever their religion was to the Saviour. And, Lord, for those folk, we pray that you'd protect them. We pray, Lord, that you'd strengthen them. We pray, Lord, that they may know your hand upon their lives. And we ask, Father, that they may know that they're not forgotten about, but that we are praying for them. Father, we remember your command to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, and we do so, Lord. We just pray for that situation in the Middle East, and we pray, Father, that you would resolve it to your glory. We pray, Father, for your people, that you would give them wisdom in dealing with this very difficult situation. And Lord, we just pray that you may show yourself, and that in the midst of this war situation, people will come to know the Saviour and come to know that he can offer peace, which is true peace. Father, again, we think of those who can't be with us because of illness. We lift them up before you and pray, Lord, that you would touch them. And Lord, heal their bodies or heal their minds or give them all that they need as they turn to you. Father, be with us this evening. Bless us tonight. Bless us this incoming week. Use us in your service. Help us, Lord, to tell others about the wonderful Saviour that we know. And even for those, Lord, this evening who don't know the Lord as their own and personal Saviour, we pray, Lord, that this evening just something may click. Just the Lord, the Holy Spirit will show them their need of salvation and show them, Father, that you are offering them a new creation, that coming to you, Father, it's not turning over a new leaf, it's getting a new life. So, Father, we just give everything into your hands tonight and indeed in this incoming week, and we ask it in the Saviour's wonderful and precious name. Amen.
Good to have you with us this evening. Thanks also to those of you who are with us by live stream. I do hope that you'll feel part of our service and indeed feel part of it enough to be able to join in the singing. I know nobody, if you sing a wrong note, nobody will know. But join in with us as we praise the Lord together. Now our first song is one that has good news and bad news. Our sins, which are many, His mercy is more. Our sins, which are many. Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever tried to quantify the amount of sin from which you and I need to be forgiven? I mean, if you were to sin just 3 times a day, remembering that we don't just sin in deed, but also in word and in thought, if you were to take 3 times per day, over 10 years, do you know how many sins you would have committed? Almost 11,000. So you can sort of quantify that, work it out according to your age. And now you know just how sinful we are. Yeah? It's true. It's true. Our sins are many. But aren't you glad of the second bit? His mercy is more. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. Aren't we glad of his mercy? So after the introduction, we'll stand together to sing. And this form of the song that we're doing is a verse, and a chorus, a verse, and 2 choruses. But you'll just follow it on the screen anyway, okay? So when the music starts, you can stand together while we sing. Shall we stand? Thank you.
1:9, King of my life. I'm going to do King of my life, the next one. And Calvary is where Christ showed, or God showed, his greatest love for us when he surrendered, when his son surrendered his life for us. So lest we forget Gethsemane, just keep it in your heart and never forget what Christ did for us on the tree. Right, King of my life.
Before we sing our next song, can I take the opportunity to push you in the direction of the Caleb bulletin down on the notice board at the back, number points for information and for prayer. And the reason why I mention it at this stage is that there's a consultation going on run by Belfast City Council regarding what they call noise and nuisance in the city centre. Now, my guess is that the idea is that they want to try and get rid of a lot of gospel preaching in the centre of the city. Now, if I judge them wrongly, accordingly, they can let me know. But certainly they're concerned about over-noisy preachers and some of the noisy music from buskers too, perhaps. But they have a consultation which you and I can contribute to. If you go to the Belfast City Council website and look for local bylaws, you will find the consultation and you'll be able to make comment upon how you think things ought to be. So don't let them ban gospel preachers like me from the centre of the city. I know some people can go over the top and sometimes it can be done inappropriately. Let's make sure that people are still able to hear the message like the message of our next song. Who can cheer the heart like Jesus by its presence all divine? It's a song of testimony. Again, we'll keep our seats as we sing this one together. But sing it thoughtfully. All that fills my soul is Jesus.
Thank you.
I was at Bible College, each week we had a special lecture. And there were a number of the students who were definitely seeking the Lord's plan and purpose for their lives. So perhaps the speaker might have had a word that was applicable to them. And always the principal would get up and he would say, "Lord, if you have something for one of us, any one of us particularly, please make that clear." Well, I wonder if you think like that as you come to listen to the message in church. Are your ears open for whatever the Lord might be saying to you, whether it be a word of encouragement, a word of challenge, a word of guidance, a word of rebuke, or whatever it might be. Our final song before Nigel comes is a prayer. And these three verses ask the Lord to open our minds, our eyes, our hearts to whatever his message might be. So after the band plays the introduction, we'll stand together while we sing.
Say a very big thank you for those that led us in song tonight, and also to the group. These men playing their instruments behind us, we're very grateful for their contribution. Good evening to you all. Good evening to you all. Now, that's about better now, that's about better. Well, it is a joy to be back with you here in Abbots, and I want to thank you just for the opportunity of being with you, to share today with you. I hope that today, by no means did we try to be, I wasn't trying to be sore or hard or any of those things, as much as the word is for you, it is for me. And I think that's what we never, never forget. But the issue is applying that word. That's the issue for all of us. No matter how many Sundays we hear the word, it's putting into practice what we hear and then endeavouring to live that out every day. Well, I'm going to give you a wee presentation tonight about our trip. I'm maybe going to miss the front first video, boys, so don't be worrying about that, just for the sake of time. But I want to take you tonight and just, our work really has been celebrating over this past year, 100 years from just one man. We were speaking this morning about one man, and funny, I was in chatting with Billy before the meeting, and he was chatting about how that God raises up a man to lead a work, and that's true. But the reality is, down through the years, God has put his hand upon individuals and used those individuals for specific works. And such was the case with GMSA when God touched the heart of just one man, a man called Mr. Strong. And Mr. Strong would not only be a member of his local church, would be involved in the work of Gideon's, but owned what was possibly in their day the second largest American brokerage firm in the US of A. And at 46 years of age, the Spirit of God had been working his heart, but the Spirit of God moved him to sell his business and to leave his home in New York and set sail with his two children and his wife to the country of Chile. And there he would serve the Lord for roughly about 37 years, primarily working among the military, among the soldiers, but God would add and increase to his people, and folks would begin to come and join him in his ranks. And not just would they endeavour to reach the military, but they would also endeavour then to reach out into the local community of people, of Chilean people. And so our work initially would start back in 1923. I don't think anybody here was alive in 1923, or there was. Oh, there is. Oh, boy's a dear altogether. Tell me no more. That is powerful. I'm not going to identify who you are. I know by looking at some of you, mustn't be far away, but I'm not going to go any further than that. Like, you know, we're not going any further because you maybe pumped me out. But anyway, and then from there we moved on to Argentina, and then from there into Uruguay. And so we were grateful to God and how that he has advanced the work. Our work is primarily about church planting ministry. But very much I want to say to you that we have our present general director, Tom Gibbons, is very much moved that God might raise up a new generation, a younger generation, because I was recently in a meeting and I was sharing this. Has God stopped calling? That's the big question. Has he stopped calling people into service? Because I can see, it's maybe not the fact that God has stopped calling, but it's the fact that either, dare I say, we're unwilling to go. We're unwilling to let go and say, look, God, is this where you want me to be? Not necessarily among the ranks of GMSA, but the fact is that God has a plan for every one of our lives. And while there's breath in our being, God has a plan for every one of our lives. But we want to be in the centre of that plan. And sometimes that means letting go of things and just letting God guide our steps and taking us in different avenues of service for his name's sake. Well, I was going to show you a video, but I'm going to omit it tonight just for the sake of time. So I'm going to skip over it very quickly, but I'm going to say to you, I want to say a very big thank you to you for your prayers, for your encouragement, to the work at GMSA, and also to our work team that went to South America. Our team would go out back in the end of last year in September. This is our team. We would travel on the 27th of September, and we would return home on Friday the 13th of October. And for some reason, flights were cheaper coming on the Friday, home on the Friday the 13th. I don't know why, but they were. And there was a few empty seats in the plane, but we didn't mind that at all. And but if you want to go from the left, we have Timothy, our far end man, on there. He's the youngest team member. Rhonda is from Newton Arch Congregational. Timmy's from an independent Methodist church in Irvinstown. Then you have Davey, and he's a Presbyterian, but we took him as well, even though he was a Presbyterian, not howling against him. Then you have Sharon. Many of you know Sharon because she's the wife of Paul Atchison, who's the minister in Newton Arch Church. And then you have Leslie, who's her oldest team member at 69 years of age, and all he did the whole time, I say all he did was just stand a cement mixer, mix cement. That's what he did for the full 11 and a half days. He didn't move from the cement mixer. That was his job at 69 years of age. So if you say to me, I'm 69, can I use you? Be assured I can make use of you, no bother. Then if you go to the next one on across is Jeffrey. He goes to the church I go to in Tobermore. And Jeffrey is involved in a very talented job. It's called AI. You've heard a lot about AI in the news, artificial intelligence. And well, if you look at Jeffrey, you'll realize it's not the intelligence bit he's into, but it's actually artificial insemination, which is a big difference altogether. That's why his sleeves are rolled up, so he's a very different job. All right, now, so his hands are used for other purposes than ever you may. But he's, what I tell you, he has the biggest heart of, well, all of our men, all and the ladies as well. God has blessed us, and we're encouraged with a great sense of spirit of unity, but a great heart to serve the Lord. Then Robert, who trapped the nerve the week before we went, but was still willing to go, lived in Kokoda Mall in Naproxen for 2 weeks, and never gave up one day, and plodded away, pointing. Then we have Alan, who's a joiner, and then I was the apprentice. And then this is Walter, our other builder. So we've Davy over here, and we've Walter. These two men are builders. He has a bad knee, and he had a bad hand, and he had a bad back, and they were the three boys involved in the building. So between the three of them, we got one man out of the whole lot of them. And but we were really grateful for the work that they accomplished. We were going very much so Dublin to London, 6 hours there in London, 6-7 hours in London, way over time, and then the 13-hour flight down into Santiago in Chile. People say it's an awful long time on a flight. Well, to be honest with you, it really does pass by quite quick. It goes by the same pace as is whenever you're at home, whether you're up in the air or down the land. So it does go by, no bother, so it's no issues whatsoever. But then from there we'd fly into Santiago. Santiago is a city of 6 million people, a vast area of people and vast area of need. And you go up the centre part of Santiago, it's called St. Christopher's Hill. There's a massive statue of Mary, and you cannot not be moved by what you will see there, because literally between houses and buildings, vast array of people, vast array of faces. And I stand here and I look down at your wee pictures in the back, and what you see is a vast array of faces, and so it is in the work of God. There are people in tremendous need, and who's going to go and who is going to reach them. From there we would go to a wee area called Perkey, which is quite a deprived area, quite a poor area, but this is where indeed our camp centre is, and this is where we're going to be. It's the only camp centre we have that you can get in a train here or a tram in Santiago, and get off at the end of the tram and get on the bus, and it will drop you off right outside the centre. And so really we have a capacity of reaching into a city of 6 million people, whether it be from parents, children, grandparents of all ages at our camp centre there, and we're grateful to God for His goodness and for His provision. We would go to serve alongside Dan and Becky Vallette, and they are our camp directors there, and they're the couple that God has really put there for the purpose of maintaining the centre. This is our wee sign just outside our camp centre. This is a sort of a drone footage. I often say that the person who was driving this drone was not a man, so you can work that out for yourself. But they don't know what a handbrake is, so if you watch it, she gets carried away a wee bit, the driver. But ladies, don't be too sore on me. But you'll see it in a wee minute or two. They're not sure what road they're going. But I'm going to try and introduce you. If you follow the red dot, there's the front of our camp centre right along this front edge. And you'll see this little building here is what we were going to replace. And this brings us right down this side. You'll see our swimming pool, some sleeping facilities here, an office. Down to the bottom right is our workshop area. The camp centre runs right down here, and then it goes right up the side of that roadway. And then if you go right down, this is our kitchen, our dining room, and our sports hall, which is also doubles up as a meeting hall. And the goal was that we would try and move this little building here, position the new church from there right into here. So the plan was to put a wee church, a new building right here. And that was our goal. So last year, whenever I would fly out to Santiago, I would see this little building. This little building is a total of 8 metres by 4 metres. Now, those of you who are old school, you'll realise that's roughly 24 foot by 12 foot. So it's not by any means a big building. You're going to put numerous amount of these buildings inside this one church alone. And this is what this little church family has. This is a back picture looking to the front, and then a front picture looking to the back. It seats 28 people in total, and as a congregation, they have 26 in total. So they're beginning to outgrow their building. And so this is their pastor, Andy. He went there as a missionary pastor. Some of you will know Pastor Johnny Ray, who's in Glengormley Baptist, who at one time worked with GMSA, began a church, really started off a church in Santiago, and that church now is sending missionaries. So where once they went became the fruits of a Northern Ireland missionary going to South America, now there are South Americans that have been raised up that are now going out to other places. And that's the whole purpose of what GMSA is about, that we might become a church that's sending, not just getting, but sending. And so whenever Danny went there, he went there with the goal of being there the church was going to put him there for a 5-year stint, and through door-to-door work and through evangelism. And sometimes, folks, you know, we think that people are just going to walk in. The reality is that the gospel was never about coming, we need to come to Christ, but the Great Commission was never about coming. The Great Commission was always about going. When Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel, and he calls us, those of us who are saved, to go. Not necessarily to the other ends of the world now. Just even to our neighbours. Some God calls the other side of the world. But reality is, folks, God calls many of us just to go to our neighbours, go to our friends. And there, some, even our own family. And they're maybe the hardest people. I don't know about you, but for me, I go to Yorkshire every now and again. My wife needs what's called a Yorkshire fix. And I have to honestly say, we have a whole family of 2 sisters and spouses and children and a brother and a wife and children. And I as you would know, I don't really have a big lot of problem with blithering and talking. It's not a big issue for me. And I can chat about so many things, folks. And yet, it seems to be that my tongue is stuck to the roof of my mouth whenever I try to share with them the gospel. Well, that'd be, dare I say, maybe we get bound up and we're afraid of what somebody might think, whatever it might be. And yet, who is going to tell our families, folks? Who's going to tell our families? We want to see them all in heaven. We don't want to see anyone left behind. And tonight, if you're here and maybe you're a daughter or a son, we all are daughters and sons, mother or father, but you're not a Christian, I can assure you, if you have a loved one who is saved, they have one yearning desire. They might not say it, but I can assure you with all my heart that they have if they're truly Christ, they have a yearning in their being more than you will ever know, that they would long to see you coming to saving faith in Christ Jesus. Well, anyway, I would be in, this is the wee church inside, we were there one Sunday morning, but I was here about 2022 and I stood on that concrete and I said, Danny, what could I, like, could we do anything to help you? Like, I can't do an awful lot in South America. I can't even, whenever I go to preach, they give me what is called an interrupter. And that helps me, helps them to understand what I am saying. But I say to myself, Danny, what could I do to help you? And so he'd say to me, well, look, Nigel, we have plans sometime of building a bigger church. Oh, I says, and where are you going to build that at? Oh, he says, right here. Oh, I says, that's powerful. Well, I says, I have one builder, if not two builders. And he'd say to me, he doesn't even bat an eyelid. And I'm thinking, does he not understand what a builder is? But Americans, see, he's an American. So you've got to show a wee bit of grace toward Americans. You know what I mean? They think they're big, but you know, they think they are. They think they're great workers. But would I tell you, if you get a good Northern Ireland man or woman that has a heart to work, I'm telling you, there's very few who'll stand in his way. And I don't mean that arrogantly or proudly, but literally, you mean. So I says, do you not have builders in America? Because they have stick houses, what they call stick houses. They don't really do block houses. So I says, what would you call a builder? Somebody who works with blocks? Oh, that's a mason. Oh, for goodness sake, I said, if I went to Northern Ireland looking for masons, dear knows what I'd end up with. Dear, you catch yourself on, woman. Eh? Dear, you could be a bus driver or an accountant or anything. Hadn't know what a block is, know what the measurements are, but that's all I'd know. So I said, look, well, these men are like masons. So they're builders, I says. Now, they're good men. But I don't think he realised what he was getting. Honestly, I don't think it fully sunk with him. But anyway, I says, look, if we bring enough people to try and get the wee church built, I says, well, second big question, have you any money? Oh, he says, that's another problem we have. I says, we've no money. All right, I says, well, that's a bit of a hurdle. So I says, well, can the wee church, have they got any money? And I says, well, not really. But I says, well, look, because I'll be honest, folks, and I'll say to you, GMSA didn't have the money in the UK. So I said, look, I'm going to honestly say to you, as I stand here, we don't have the money in our account. I don't have that money. I can't just come and write you a check. It was they were looking at a figure of $50,000. I says, we don't have that sort of money. But I says, I'm going to say this to you, and I feel it's very important. If we are going to contribute into that, we feel it's very important that the local church is part of it financially as well. So it helps them to see that they can take some of the responsibility. So they set about trying to raise $10,000. And then someone in the US sent one money down to the Chile field for, not allocated for a particular project, but they sent $10,000 down to help with a building project. And so the Chilean Field Council of GMSA, they would then allocate that money toward the project. So that left a $30,000 shortfall. And we were just taking a day at a time, and it really amazed us how God would meet our need. But I'm going to tell you about that. But this is what they would try. We would try it initially. We look at this. What we initially planned was to seat 90 people, and a church of 90 people with a couple of wee Sunday school rooms and a toilet. That's what they look for. But whenever I got there, now whatever happened to the digger man, I don't know what he was on. But I tell you, he dug foundations which were a lot bigger than for 90 people. The foundations he dug actually for a church that now seats up to 150 people. And so you're going a lot bigger, and so it's more expensive. But anyway, we'll tell you about a wee minute or two. Well, anyway, the beginning of each day, this is how we would start every day. You come with us in a work team, this is the way every day I'll start. You'll get a bit of grub at 7 o'clock. and then we'll spend a wee bit of time around the Word and prayer at 7:30 to about 8:00 before we go on to site. And this, for us, we feel and we believe, is vital as we would set out today to set the tone to pray not only for safety on site, not only for protection on site, because the fact is, whenever I go looking at insurance for these men, they're not allowed to use anything other than a cement mixer. And they're not allowed to climb any more than 8 foot. Well, if you try to build a church, well, Lord, you've got a cement mixer and you can't climb any higher than 8 foot. You're not going to do an awful lot. It'll be a doll's house you're building. That's about all you'll be building. So we're praying for protection, and we're praying for safety, and we're praying for God to look after us. But then we're praying as well for our families at home, because we've men out here, some of these men out here, and family members and wives and children that are not saved. So we want to pray God will keep his hand and work on their hearts even whenever we're away. And then from there, really, we would, at 8:00, we'd go out on the site. And our goal was all we had was 11 and a half days. That's all the time we had now to work. We do believe in giving people a day off. It's called a Sunday. And so that was their 2 days of rest. And so literally the half day is the day we landed, because we get in at 10:00 into the camp centre at 11:00 on Thursday morning. We got our lunch for 12:30, and their clothes was changed, and we were on the site at 1:00, and we worked that half day, even though we came off a 13-hour flight. And literally, whenever we got here, you'll see a wee video run here. This was in preparation, because initially we were just going to build the floor till we realised that, lo and behold, or build the building walls, but then the floors weren't even ready for pouring concrete, and so we had to get the floors ready. That was meant to be coming on the Saturday. We were there on the Thursday. So then our men would then get diverted. So some of the men that would keep on building, and then some of us would endeavour then to start moving stones and getting ground levelled out and soil cleared away and stones. And we moved about 3.5 tonne of stone with about 3 wheelbarrows and a couple of old shovels. And if you're not really used to pushing wheelbarrows, I can tell you it's a right old tightener. And but we'll tell you, all of our men would get stuck in it. It wasn't the fact, well, that's not my job. In fact, as I encourage our teams, whoever comes, there has to be a sense of flexibility, because it's not just about, well, that's all you're coming to do, and if you're just coming to build, that's all you're doing. It's not about that, because sometimes we have to move around and do different jobs. And so this, you'll see some of the work here. The men will commence. Well, it was putting down an initial concrete brick around the base to get a level. We brought a wee laser level with us to get a laser level, to get a level for pouring the concrete, 4-inch screed. And I can tell you, it was a tight wee bit of going. But we're really grateful for the work that we accomplished. And then really from there, then we would endeavour to start building. Now this might not mean a lot to some of you folks, but the mortar joints there are 30 mil. Whenever you build in Northern Ireland, you build with a 10 mil mortar joint. This is not actually mortar. This is concrete. This is stone and everything. Because whenever they brought us sand, they go to the riverbed and they just put in the digger and they lift everything out of the riverbed and they just dump it in your yard. That's what sand is. So whenever you, if you know anything about lifting anything out of the riverbed, you know it's coming out with stones and rocks and boulders and all shapes. And that's what you're paying for. And then you pick the sand out of it. So you remove the stones and then you pick the sand out of it. And that's what our men, while we were there, the roof went on. And while we were there, the concrete flow went in. And while we were there, the men, we rejoiced in the fact that the men were able to get built. You'll see we advances every day on different stages of the building, of the walls going up along the side. And all I was going to say to you, the steel men that put the steel girders up, they don't really know what a spurt level is. Put up your hand if you know what a spurt level is. That's good. At least we know good some. Well, I'll tell you, these boys have spurt levels, but I don't know what they knew. I think they thought that the wee bobble runs to full the other side, because literally the steel was either hanging out or hanging in. It was just, and you never seen anything like it in your life. But anyway, we were grateful for help. But then you're going to see here, this is the wee church, and we met here one Sunday morning. They want to take a wee picture for us, but this is a finished view. This is what 11 and a half days does now, whenever you have people who have a heart to work. And Nehemiah, whenever Nehemiah built the walls, he built the walls successfully and in extraordinary time, because God gave the people a heart to work and to work together. And if nothing else tells me something, if nothing else, I'm going to say, I say about now, you don't remember, I'm going to tell you this. If you don't have unity, you don't have a pulling together. And if I take a team to South America and I get even just one person that decides they're going to do it their way, I'm better to send that one person home. You see, that's a terrible hard thing to say. Because that one person now, the Bible says a wee fox can spoil the vine. And we can't have people in a team that saying, well, no, you might do that, but we're going to do this over here, Nigel. No, no, no. We're working as a team here. We've come as a team. We stay as a team and we go home as a team. Because we saw the whole thing of this being successful. And so you'll see a side view here. You might wonder why it's not built right up into the top. But it's all, South Americans do things very differently. But that will be clattered at the top. And then you'll see a front view. This is going to be their main entrance in. This is their main sanctuary. Where did that bleeper go? I don't know. There's it there. So this is the main sanctuary. And they're going to put a large window here. And then these are toilets here, male and female. And then what you'll see just around this corner will be the disabled toilet to the right. Is going to be a Sunday school class, and then there's going to be a staircase here, which is going to take you up onto a second Sunday school class, and then at the front here, where that wee wall is going to be a wee sound room, and they'll be able to look straight down onto the pulpit. This is the main sanctuary. You see it's 11 metres wide and 22 metres long, and this is what it looks like from the front to the back. This will seat roughly about 140 people. And so whenever our builders were started saying, Nigel, we're not sure if we're going to get all this built, but I can assure you. And it's not the fact that, now let me say it sounds very practical, but it's not the fact here in our weather conditions, they boys could put mortar, you see, in a complete bay. So they could mortar the whole bay and then they could roll a route of bricks on. But there, because it's so dry and the sand is so dry, whenever you put water, it just evaporates very quickly. So they're only bedding about three brick at a time. So they're only doing wee small sections before the mortar's gone off. And then they're having to bed in our three, so it's such a slow process. But we'll tell you, whenever God gives people a heart to work, it makes all the difference. This is what it's going to look like from the pulpit down to the back. Initially, we were only going to come out this width, three bays, one, two, three, and then, but literally they put this extra on and a wee bit longer. And then with this plywood sheets up, they're going to put a wood-burning stove, and then they're going to put a wee ceiling in here, ceiling joists, tile it out, and a stud wall up this side, and that will be the wee church finished. And it really is encouraging just to see how God wonderfully met the need and how we were able to get the wee job done. Then Danny said to us, is there any other wee jobs that we could do for you? I said, Danny, what can I do to help you out? Oh, he says, there is. So I took a fella, this fella, Alan, was a joiner, and I said, well, what could we do for you? So he said, would you make us a wee landing on the storage, or a wee landing storage for boxes for bed linen, so we can keep them clean and dry and everything else? So we set about putting a wee storage unit up here, and then this was the way it would leave it off. Just very simple, then it'll be trimmed out, a wee bit of trim, facing trim, to tidy the whole thing all up. Then he says, well, would you put a lot of garages in the workbench? I said, surely we'll do that for you. So we put a couple of wee benches, and the two wee workbenches, one here and one there, for fixing chainsaws and strimmers and all the rest. Just a wee place for a man to work at, and maybe even if a woman, if she wanted to come and help out as well, because we don't want to leave the ladies out, to keep them encouraged as well. And then he says, would you put us a lot of wee seats in the shower cubicles, and the male and the female, so we build these wee seating areas, because the fact was, they were going to the showers, setting their stuff on the floor, and then the problem was everything's wet, so it's a bit of a disaster, you know what I mean, so you're going in with wet clothes, and you're coming out with wet clothes, so it's no good, so we'd set about just trying to put these wee benches in, wee seats, just make it a wee bit more personal, even somewhere to sit at, so that was right, so we got that wee job, and I said, anything else we can do for you, Danny? Oh, he says, would you build us an apartment? Oh, I said, sure, Ash, no bother, like, we'll tackle that for you, no bother. So this area here, you see some handrail, that's the word I'm looking for, bit of handrail. So the welder man, he cut the whole thing off, and then, never seen a wee apartment, it's nothing flashy now, it's very basic, but this is what we build, this wee section in the end here, and put the windows in it, frame it all off. And then we put this wee door on her, and then literally she's going, you are there just for a sofa and a wee kitchenette down here, and then this is a double room, but it just gives, this is for Danny and Becca, so it just gives them a wee bit more private space. It's not big by any means. I say an apartment, maybe you should call it a flat, I don't know, it's all in posh words now. But and then we put a wee pocket door in, because there was no room really for the door to swing, so we wanted the door to hide under the wall, so it just meant to give it a wee bit more space, so that was not a wee job. I said, anything else we can do? I said, will you put a lot of windows in the girls' toilets? I said, I know bother. So we set about and we cut these windows all out right down the side. And then we set all the windows in and we did that wee job. And then I says, Danny, what else can I do for you? Oh, he says, will you trim out a few dorms for us? So I said, no bother. So I said, you may get us a lot of 2x1, a wee bit of plain 2x1. And I took a wee lot of tools out, battery tools. And we got a wee planer and we planed there. So we get 50 lengths of 2x1 one day. And then next day I said, Danny, you murdered our 50 lengths. And then the next day, or an hour 15, I said, where's all this timber going? So this is really what the idea would be. So you'll see the room basically there. Look, folks, You'll see there's no trim, no doors, no door frame, but they're still using these bedrooms. So they plan, this is the way it would finish off. So every room is a wee bit of tube going along the bottom, up around the architrave, and then a wee bit of trim around the top, around the ceilings. And it just made all the difference, folks, just to tidy up, make it that wee bit more, just that wee bit more homely and friendly and so forth. Put a few wooden floors down for them, 6 in total, and the wee bedrooms. And then we would endeavour then to hang these doors at the far end and these the geared showers and put handles and doors on them and so forth. 14 door frames and doors and fitted and handles put on them. And then we did a wee bit of tidying up. And we have a wee expression in Mid Ulster. It makes it look a wee bit more, what's the word now? Well, anyway, it just looks better looking anyway. You know what I mean? Like, it just looks better looking. So anyway, so it was somebody been there. Oh, made a real old pig's ear, but. And he says, look, well, Danny says, could you hang tidy up? So we endeavour just for a wee bit more OSB board on it and just a wee bit of 2x1 on her and just tidy her up, make her look a bit better. A few blinds fitted and so forth and the other room. So we, like, folks, 11 and a half days. And I look at that and say, how on earth did 8 men do this work? And I don't say that, and don't, please do not think, Benjamin, we're trying to blow our trumpets here. We're not. All I'm going to say is, I am convinced whenever you go in God's will, God gives us extraordinary help to do His work. He does that, folks. If you're willing to go, if you're not afraid, and our boys were not working late at night. 8 o'clock in the morning to about 5:30, 6 o'clock, I wouldn't let them work any later. Get their tea, and then we light the fire, and that's us for the evening. There's no more work been done at night time. I had no point in killing men. Boys say, oh, well, they're only there for 11 and a half days. Let them work all night and all day. Gee, you can't make man work if he's blittered. So we just said we'd tear away. So then we said we'd give. These were times of fellowship around the dinner, the table, and we were delighted that Sharon and Rhonda, very quickly, I'm going to say to you, and I'm going to tell you, outstanding job they did for us. Outstanding. Telling you, I'm going to be well disappointed if I go back to South America and I don't have Sharon or Rhonda. Well, Rhonda was really assistant. If you go to Newton Ard, you say, are you the assistant cook? Oh, she'll love you for that. She'll love you. She'll go red, but she'll love you anyway. And but anyway, the two of them came down, and we'll tell you, oh, the meals we had, this is 10 o'clock tea. You see the fresh scones. Never had scones in South America in my life. Fresh scones, and then with these are overnight oats covered in yogurt. And then these here are not 15s, these are 14s. The reason why they're 14s, couldn't get cherries in South America. So we can only make 14. So this was 10 o'clock tea. This was nearly everyone, fresh scones and cream and cheese. And this was a bit of lunch here. You'll see this lovely platter of meat and grapes and tomatoes and you name it. Look, lettuce, but that's not for us. And look, scones there again, look, and jam and cream. She couldn't beat it with a big stick. And then this was lunch, look, of sandwiches. This was the woman worked like Trojans. And then one night, we decided we'd go and buy a lot of steaks. We bought 15 steaks for about £45. Now, they weren't like our beef, and I must admit, they wasn't like our beef, but it did the job. And you'll see the men there, all their plates all full. Walter here did a bit of cooking for us, and we didn't have a deep fat fryer. You remember whenever your granny used to make you chips? You remember she used to put the pan out and fill it full of oil and throw the chips and spuds in her, and that was it. That's what we did out there. We couldn't get a chip pan, so we just bought a pile of oil, cooked the oil up and just threw the spuds in it. It was great. And then we had salad for the girls just to make them feel a bit warm. So it was powerful all together. And then we had an Irish night one night, and the girls would put on just a dinner like what we would know of cauliflower and roasties and carrots and peas, chicken and beef. And then Sharon and Rhonda brought a lot of gravy, them gravy granule things to make a bit of gravy. These folks in South America never had gravy in their lives. They were drinking it like the way we would drink a cup of tea. They thought this was great. Where'd you get this stuff at? They never had gravy before. They were drinking away at it, but it was just amazing. These folks came along, so we were entertaining them as well. And it was just amazing just how the Lord provided. And I'm going to say this to you folks. Kirsten and I had a couple of folks come to visit us from the US of A. And he said it was a few days, and I was saying we're heading to South America and blah blah blah. And everything is so, like, you don't need me to tell you, everything's expensive. You know, we all know that. And you know, I was encouraged to hear that your gift toward your own missionaries. Folks, do not forget about your own missionaries. Do not forget about them. As many as there's other mission organizations about, remember the care and attention that it's important for you to look after your own, as well as looking after others, but primarily your own. Because they have gone. So I was saying, look, these men going out, flights have gone mad, and I chatted with some of our council members, said, look, I really don't feel that we can ask any more money off them. It's not right. We're just gonna tick the hit in GMSA, and whatever it costs us for food is gonna cost us. That was alright. So I'm David and his wife go back to America, and next thing I get an email to say, oh, there's $1,000 has been landed in the US GMSA account allocated for Nigel and the work team in South America. I said, praise the Lord, there's $1,000 to start us, to feed us. Because we're not just feeding 10 now, because there's some nights we're feeding 20. So I'm saying, right, that's great, that's powerful. And the day before I fly out, this man rings me and he says to me, Nigel, he says, I want to ring you for two reasons. What's that? And he says, I want to tell you, every day we're going to be praying for you. I says, brother, I appreciate it very much. Secondly, he says, I want you to bring all your food receipts home with you. He says, what am I bringing a pile of paper home with me for? Sure, only getting the road. He says, I want you to bring it home, and then whenever you get home, I want you to get the calculator out, and I want you to work out exactly how much your food bill costs, and I'll pay for it. There's just one man who can't go, but can give and make a sacrifice. And folks, as you look through history, through the scriptures, you'll see just some the people of Nehemiah's day, many men, weren't able to do what Nehemiah did, but they did what they could. And it is unto the Lord. And some of you that have given toward this project in South America, I can say to you without any shadow of a doubt, folks, without any shadow of a doubt, that you are part of this wee fellowship. You're part of this work. It's not just these 10 people. We went out for give the ladies a night off, went out for a feed of pizza, and just to give them a night out, went by a bit of ice. Well, actually went to ice cream. We didn't even get ice cream. That's another wee story we'll tell you. And a wee 75-year-old woman come up to me one day and she says to me, "How pensioner like?" She says to me, says, "Nigel, I want to give you a lock of pound to help you in South America." And she says, "It's not for anything else other than ice cream." That's what she said. "It's not for anything else other than ice cream." I went home to count it. £300. What ice cream am I going to get? I'm telling you, we had some feed of her. Hadn't even one tub, couldn't get an ice cream shop in the whole place. Scandalous. But anyway, it broke my heart. But anyway, but isn't it amazing how, folks, God touches people's hearts? And folks, I'm sure you'll be able to bear witness, because there'll be missionaries will come here and God will touch your heart through them, and you'll give toward their work. But as much as people may touch in your heartstrings, don't forget about your own. Different people present their missionary organizations in different ways. Some people are full of enthusiasm and charisma. Some people have a great way of wooing people in. And then some people just stand and just plainly state where they are and where they are. And maybe they don't have the same charisma, but their work is vitally just as important, because they're endeavouring to share the good news of the gospel with others. Very quickly, folks, our wee team would like to say these wee words to you. Have you any volume, boys? How long? We'll go back again. We'll give you a wee minute up there, Gary. You all right, son? Good lad. Right. Are we ready now, Gary? Good lad.
Yeah.
Just a few words from the team here in Perky, Chile.
Thank you for your prayers, support, and encouragement.
And they're not be able to be here tonight, but on their behalf, folks, we do want to thank you in Abbots Cross for your prayers, for your support, and for your encouragement. We do not take it at all for granted, and be you sure of that. GMSA has been the recipient on a number of occasions of your 10th Sunday. And we want to say a very, very big thank you, and we're really grateful to you, and the Lord bless you. There's other things I was going to share with you, but we'll draw a line out of there tonight, but you've been very patient. I just want to leave you a wee thought tonight as we close from the book of Amos, and I'm not going to be long, but dare I say it, folks, the purpose of Gospel Mission of South America is to present the gospel. And that is what GMSA is always about, as much as it's involved in church planting, as much as it's involved in reaching the lost or in planting churches. The fact is, we cannot lose sight of the fact that we need to preach the gospel. And in the book of Amos, it tells us just one verse in the book of Amos in chapter 4 and verse 12. these few words, it just simply says, prepare to meet thy God. You know, I know the preparation is something that every one of us must be involved in life. Whether it be tonight, if you go home and you're working tomorrow, you might make up a lot of sandwiches. Or your wife might say to you, like she'll say to me, Nigel, do you want some sandwiches tomorrow? Whenever I'm at work, I'll make a lot for you before you go. We all know what it's like to make preparation in every hour of life. But the one thing, folks, that you and I need to remember most of all is that there is one form of preparation that we dare not neglect. And that is the preparation that we must make if we're going to meet God. And especially if we want to meet Christ as our Savior, we must prepare to meet Him. And I'm going to give you, like this morning I shared four simple wee points with you. Well, it's no different tonight. I'm just going to leave four simple wee points with you. And I can show it to you biblically why I believe that you need to prepare. The first is simply this, that God desires it. He desires it. Because he tells me in the book of 1 Peter, he says these words, he says, the Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to it. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is not willing. The Lord is not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. So I am convinced with all my heart now that there's not one person, and sadly there will be people that will die without Christ. Sadly, we have a family, seen family that have died. I visited a lady one time who was a relative of mine, far out, albeit. I was doing some gospel meetings in the area, and I rapped on her door, and she was elderly in age, and she said, come on in, Nigel, I can't stand at the door. So in the door house, and I started to chat a wee minute or two, and then I says, look here, I says, I'm actually want to invite you, and maybe you're not able to go, but I want to share with you the gospel. She says, Nigel, you're welcome in my house. But she says, you're not welcome to talk about that sort of stuff in my house. She says, you can come here any time, you can talk about anything else. But you see that message there, it will not be talked about under this roof. I had a dear friend that became a friend of ours, a man called Roy, and his wife was Eunice. Roy led my wife to the Lord, Caris, in Yorkshire, and we opened Gospel Hall Assembly. And Eunice had an aunt who was dying, and she went to witness to her on her deathbed. And I still remember as Eunice would tell the story, and the tears would just simply stream down the sides of her cheeks. She said, well, she lay dying. I said to her, look, aunt, would you not like to seek the Lord? And she simply rolled over in the bed and turned her back on her. Didn't want it. Didn't want it. My dear friends, as much as God desires it, he's not going to force anybody into seeking Christ. He exhorts us to seek him while he may be found and call upon him while he's near. But he is what we have often said, and preachers have often used the expression, that perfect gentleman, and he'd only come where he's invited. Tell me, have you ever invited him? You sit in Abbot's Cross. You know about it. You know about him. You know about the gospel. You know about the good news. But tell me, why do you still remain unsaved? I'm going to say to you secondly, not just because God desires, but I'm going to say to you secondly, because the scripture declares it. Declares it. Isaiah the prophet said, seek ye the Lord where he may be found, and call ye upon him while he is near. Jesus said in John 3, except a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Paul writes in church at Corinth, he says, behold, now is the accepted time, behold, now is the day of salvation. So the word of God declares that if you want to be in heaven, you need to prepare. Your neighbour surely has to prepare. Your family. But this gospel is personal. Because it's for you. And it's for me. I want to say to you thirdly, very simply, because the Bema seat demands it. You say, well, whenever I read my Bible, I don't read about a place called the Bema seat. Well, in the book of Corinthians, it talks about the we must all appear before the judgment seat. And what Paul was writing to the believers at Corinth, even though sadly, if you read anything about the church in Corinth, you'll read about them that there was an awful lot of problems in the church in Corinth, and not an awful issues, which we don't have time to recall this evening. But I am going to say to you is that when he was talking to them, he was saying, look, there's coming a day when you're going to give an account, not for your sins, but for your actions and for your deeds, for your words. And he says, And at the Bema Seat, it's not the fact that you're going to be excluded from heaven, but at the Bema Seat, you're going to be invited into heaven. Now, there'll be another day, there's another judgment in heaven, and it's not called the Bema Seat, but it's called the Great White Throne. They are two vastly different judgments. One is for the converted, and the other is for the unconverted. Now, my dear soul, if you die and you stand before the Great White Throne, there is only one outcome. There is only one outcome. And it's not the matter you've been able to stand there, and you may be able to argue with a preacher, or argue with your neighbour, or argue with some Christian friend and say, well, listen, I get into heaven my way. Listen, the scripture says, Solomon says in the book of Proverbs, there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. So there is only one way to heaven. I went to the wee congregational church in Moneymore, as many of you know, congregational. Went to Sunday school 2:30, and then whenever it finished 3:30, then my uncle James, then if he was going down buying his old round, an old round 19, boy, she rattled like an old bottle of bricks, like old bottle of bolts, bucket of bolts. That's the word I'm trying to come out with. And she was the biggest rickle of an old thing, and he drove her till she was done. He was that tight. He's an old farmer, you see. He didn't like to part with the money, and. But he taught Sunday school along with a man called Stephen McHugh, an army man called Joe Benson. And the three of them men every Sunday taught us simple truths. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. One door and only one, and yet it's side or two. I'm on the inside, and which side are you? And years later now, I've come to realize the importance of obeying the gospel in my life. And if I want to be at the Bema Seat and not at the Great White Throne, my dear friend, were at the Great White Throne, I will be excluded from heaven. I will be cut off from heaven. In fact, the Lord will say, now the Lord himself will say, because he is that man whom who has been appointed on that day of judgment for this purpose, whereby he will say, many shall come in my name and say, Lord, Lord, I've prophesied in your name, I've done great wonders in my name, your name, I've even, maybe dare I say, healed the sick in your name, but he shall say unto them, I never knew you. I never knew you. Now, would it be an awful thing to think that the people of Abbot's Cross knew you? And yet, on the day of judgment, Christ didn't know you. Wouldn't that be an awful thing? To think that you could spend eternity in hell, even though for the vast majority of your life you've sat under the gospel in Abbot's Cross Congregational Church. It's time, my dear friend, to seek the Lord. And I'm going to say to you fourthly as I finish, not just as the Bema Seat, the man, God desires it, and the Scriptures declares it, but I'm going to say to you very simply, folks, your soul needs it. Your soul needs it. My wife had a lovely friend, her name was Lisa. She's no longer with us, she's with the Lord now, but she had open heart surgery. A young lady in her maybe her 40s. Open heart surgery was in the Royal, not the Royal, there's another one there down where the old prison used to be. That's the place, and she was in there for nearly a year. And took her old heart out, put a new heart in. Surgeons could handle the heart, lift the old one out, put a new one in. Eh? But yet I'm going to say to you folks, I don't care who the surgeon is, as fine as some of the surgeons that we have in Northern Ireland or United Kingdom or worldwide, there's not one of them will open you up and find your soul. Because you can't see it with your eyes. You can't find it with human hands. But it can be lost forever. It can be lost forever. That's why the scripture says today, if you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Eh? Tell me, it's not about time you called upon Christ. It's not about time you cried out unto him. Say, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. I'm on the broad road here, Lord. If I die tonight, and my condition, Doesn't matter if I've been in church twice today or even in church tonight. What would it be like, folks, to close your eyes and the next time you opened them was in the pit of hell itself? It's not because God doesn't love you. It's not because His Word doesn't teach you. But it's because you were unwilling to repent of your sin and seek Him who is the way, the truth, and the life. If you're here this evening and you're not a Christian, I'm going to ask you this evening to seriously consider your latter end. Now, we have to prepare for everything. We have to prepare for everything. Some people, they live their lives so laid back and they're vertical, and it seems to be that nothing faces them, and they just seem to muzzle on through. And you might be able to be one of those people that lay back and say, oh, it'll all work itself out. It'll all work itself out. I don't get too stressed out in life. So what's the? Well, really, at the end of the day, there's not much point in getting stressed out in life because things do work themselves out. But I'm telling you, folks, if you neglect salvation, you not work just it unless not all work out for you. If you neglect Christ, you will not be in heaven. You don't need me to come from Tobermore to tell you that. It is time to seek the Lord. And this is the night. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. When we word of prayer, our folk are going to come up and we're just going to sing a couple of verses of one hymn. And then we're going to close our meeting this evening. Father, we ask tonight that you would help us. And Lord, any among us tonight that are not saved. Lord, we thank thee for the gospel tonight. We rejoice that it is good news. We rejoice that it is glorious news. We're glad that it is supernatural news because it changes lives. It transforms hearts. It changes men from the inside out. It takes away hearts of stone and gives hearts of flesh. Lord, we pray tonight, Lord, that you would be pleased just to take the word of God in its simplicity and help some precious soul this evening to cry out, to call out upon your name, the name of the Lord. And we thank thee that your word declares it now. As your word declares it, you said that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's your promise now. We're not doubting your word tonight. We believe that your word is truth. We believe that your word is indestructible. It's infallible tonight. And so we're asking you tonight, Lord, that some soul, by faith, would take your word and apply it to their hearts. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing hymn is, I think it's Life at Best. It's very brief. It's like the falling of a leaf. We're just going to sing it. The first verse and the last verse, lads, if you don't mind. The first and the last only of this lovely hymn as we're led this evening. Let's all stand together. letters on the chair and the wee bench there as you leave. If you haven't got one this morning or you'd like another one, please do avail of them. And please do, if you can, remember us in your prayers. We would be indebted to you. Let's pray. Father, as we leave your house tonight, Lord, we might leave with a sense of knowing your presence with us. And Lord, as we enter a new week, uncertain of what it might hold for any one of us, we thank you that as your children, we have a blessed hope within us. And that blessed hope is that the Spirit dwells within. And we are yours. And Lord, that this week, whether you come or call, we thank that we will know your guiding hand and your leading us in all paths. So be with us, help us and direct us in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, folk. God bless you. Thank you, my friend.